Episode number 334, Preventing Ministry Burnout with Tom Bump. Let's do it.
This is the definitive podcast for helping you plan, create, and execute dynamic worship experiences at your church. Useful, practical content in the areas of production, worship, communications, first impressions, and more. This is Making Sunday Happen.
Well, hey guys, welcome. Before we get rolling this week, I want to let you know about our podcast archive at MakingSundayHappen.com. We have over 330 episodes of our podcast. 200 of them were audio only before we added video to the mix, and I probably do have more of a face for radio, but we have that many episodes on the website there. We have even categorized the shows where you can go right to the area of ministry that best connects with you and your role at your church. From church online to communications, production, volunteer culture, worship, and more. It's all completely free at MakingSundayHappen.com, MakingSundayHappen.com. On today's episode of our show, I welcome my friend Tom Bump. Tom is the founder of Restoring Leaders. He is also the author of the brand new book, Valleys Over Mountains, a book that you really need in your personal library. It's a book about overcoming the valleys in ministry and how to get through hard seasons. If you haven't gone through a tough season or a bump in the road in ministry, you probably haven't been in ministry long enough because it's coming. They come. And today, Tom and I are going to talk through how to prevent ministry burnout. You may be in a season after this pandemic where you are weary, where you're worn down. You might still be in a fog. You might be coming out of that fog. But today we're going to talk through some practical ways to prevent frying out completely. So my conversation with Tom Bump is coming up right after this.
Digital signs are everywhere and can be an effective way of distributing information. However, they're costly to set up and maintain. Sign Presenter changes this by providing a simple and affordable digital signage platform that anyone can use. In fact, you can have your sign up and running today. Simply create an account and upload the messages you want to display. If you don't already have messages created, our web-based designer makes it easy to create them. Preview your screen, and once you're happy with it, pick up an Amazon Fire TV Stick 4K at a local store. Plug it into your TV and download our app. That's it. Your messages will start displaying immediately. Visit signpresenter.com and claim your free trial.
Hey guys, today I welcome to the podcast my friend Tom Bump. Tom is the founder of Restoring Leaders. He is the also the host of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast and the author of the forthcoming book. I'm really excited about your book, Tom.
Yeah.
Valleys Over Mountains is the cool title. Show it. Show it. Oh yeah.
There it is.
Looking snazzy, man. Tom Bump, ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for hanging out, buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me, brother. I appreciate the time.
Yeah, man. Now, before we dive in, give me a little quick overview. We've gotten to be friends lately through the through just kids ministry and Facebook groups and conferences and stuff. So give me kind of a quick overview of your ministry background and how you got started with Restoring Leaders and kids ministry, too.
Sure. Well, man, thanks for being a part of our Kid Ministry Collective Facebook group and being part of our community. We appreciate that. And you guys sharing your resources over there with our community. And we love having that group. And then, yeah, the podcast has been going good. We went over 75,000 downloads recently. So that's pretty cool. And we're pretty excited and honored that many people are downloading and listening to my little podcast. But yeah, I got started. I'm a pastor's kid. So a church brat, grew up in the second row, right side. Yes. The PK club.
Yeah.
And in spite of that, I still went into ministry. I saw my dad go through some really great stuff. And I also saw him go through some really hard stuff. And it was tough growing up sometimes being the pastor's kid, but God continued to use it. And my father even said, if God's not going to call you into ministry, Tom, don't follow my footsteps because you think you have to, only do it because God's calling you. And I did, I felt God leading me into ministry at the age of, where I think the call was real solidified was when I was about 16, but I really felt it when I was like 11 or 12, I started doing kid ministry in our church, helping our kids program, actually started a Sunday night club for kids, and led it. And when it got up to about 25 kids coming in back there during a Sunday night service, they decided I better get some help. so they had a couple other teenagers come join me. And we rocked it out with no adult supervision, which was hilarious back in the day. But all in all, I've been in ministry for over 30 years. I've done senior pastor role for a while. I've been associate youth pastor, family pastor, kids pastor, been in churches from as small as like 50 people all the way up to a multi-site of 5,000. And just love being in ministry. I love being around ministry people and kid ministry, especially. That's where I've done a lot of youth and children at the same time. But the last probably 15 years of ministry, I was focused real hard on kids ministry, and that's where the KMC started and was birthed out of that, and just continued. And so I've been through a lot in those 30 some years. I've had some great ministries, you know, and some not so good ministries. And watched even other senior pastors above me get shish kebabbed and burned out. And because of all that, and then experiencing my own personal hurt and burnout, I felt like a number of years ago when I was out in Yosemite, that God was starting to lead me in a new season out of being a vocational pastor, but more to shepherds. And I really felt like God was saying, look, I know what you feel like the world's robbed you of, but I'm going to bring it around in a different direction. And I had a guy even on the last Yosemite trip that I was on say to me, hey, ministry may not always look like what you think. So open your heart and let God show you what he wants to show you. And that really blew my mind. And so out of that came KMC Coaching, which is a leadership coaching ministry that I work with leaders and help them with structures and systems and all that stuff. But then the new thing of restoring leaders, where it really is about offering care and support to help hurting and burned out leaders move out of that open wound into a healed scar where they can go forward in health and live restored and lead renewed all the time.
This is kind of a recurring theme on our podcast occasionally over the years. And I think some of it comes from my ministry background as well, but I think we're kindred spirits in that we've had some very interesting ministry experiences. I think it's kind of come to the forefront a little bit with the Mars Hill podcast recently. Mm-hmm. Yeah, where that's kind of opened the door to a discussion of whether it's spiritual abuse or, you know, power hungry kind of atmospheres and just being fried in ministry. That whole can of worms, I think, has been there. But maybe that podcast recently has kind of opened the door to the conversation. But I want to talk to you specifically today about ministry burnout. Mm-hmm. Let's get into your experience a little bit. Tell me about some of your burnout experience.
Yeah. You know, it happened, honestly, a couple of times. And I think where it happened because I was starting to function a lot in my own strength. I was functioning in a performance mode. You know, a lot of us get very numbers driven, and that's because we feel that pressure being pushed down that we have to perform at a high level and we have to push out numbers and volume of programs and all that kind of stuff. And there's that constant stress of recruiting and programming and planning. And honestly, it got to a point where I lost all my joy. I lost my drive, my passion. I forgot what it was like to even be called into ministry because I was doing another man's calling is what I was. I was trying to impress a senior leader and my fear of man got bigger than my fear of God. And all of those things just kind of started coming together. And I began to fake Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. I would come home and just complain to my family about everything that went wrong. And I got very cynical and very grouchy and very grumpy. And like I said, to summarize it all up, I lost my joy. I lost my day one passion. You know, that day one when you're called in and you're fresh and you're green and you're bright eyed and you're just like, I'm going to conquer the world. All that was gone. It was just, where I came to that moment, again, I refer a lot to Yosemite. I was literally sitting up on a mountain, up on this dome, and was all by myself and just thought, you know, if I didn't come back from here, would anybody even care? Now, I wasn't suicidal. I don't believe I was. I was just so desperate and tired and worn out. And I felt like nobody cared. I felt like I was all alone. I felt like I couldn't talk to anybody. And all of those things, just the exhaustion and the mental fatigue and the trying to do it all on my own, was just, it pushed me into that full scale. I just didn't care. I was drained. I just wanted to walk away. I wanted to quit. I was a fake. You know, it was just, that was it. And it just hit me.
Well, you're the only one ever who has felt that way. So I don't know the rest of this podcast. I don't know if it's going to relate because
I'm sorry. What a failure of a guest I am already.
No, I'm kidding, man. I'm obviously joking because I mean, we feel it a lot. You know, I've encountered a lot of people recently who, especially with the pandemic stuff, you know, let's say tech guys, for instance, you know, they were responsible for making Sunday happen. And now they're responsible for making Sunday happen online as well.
Yep.
And they're also responsible for the content creation. I mean, just the demands are growing and growing and growing. Yes. And I mean, online's not going away. And so that demand is still there and is maintained. So there's a lot of guys that are, you know, just to their end. Yep. And so I think that this, you know, burnout discussion really does apply to a lot of people. I think a lot of people are really feeling it, especially right now.
Yeah.
So let's talk through some things that we should know about burnout. Maybe some highlights of just some baseline. Here's some things that we should know before we try to solve it and some solutions.
Yeah.
Why don't you start throwing out a couple?
Well, one thing that people need to realize is that going on vacation, not going to fix it. I've had people tell me, well, if I can just make it to vacation week, I'll be fine. I'll be good. And we think that sometimes the vacation will make everything go away. It might eliminate a few of the symptoms, but it's not going to fix burnout. It's not really going to heal and restore. You're going to get rested physically, maybe emotionally, but it's not really going to fix it. I think another thing is that burnout isn't always caused just by overworking. We often think it's overwork that does it, but it's not always caused that way. There are other contributing factors lead you that direction and can cause you to burn out. So I think some people think, well, if I could just slow down, manage my tasks better, it would improve. And there are people out there that sell systems of, well, if you do this certain task management system, you won't burn out. Or if you do this volunteer program, you won't burn out.
Right.
I can't always agree with that because it's not about a program. It's not about a system that fixes your burnout. So I think there's a couple things right there that are important to grab onto. I think learning to say and realize it's okay to say no, and say it to your senior leader and say it to yourself.
Have you done that to a senior leader and it's not received well? And so you're nervous to say no the next time?
Yep. Because there were times where I said no and they're like, what? Well, what all are you doing? And if you're so overwhelmed, well, then maybe you can't. Again, it'll come back to, I heard, well, you're not managing your tasks well enough. You need to restructure. Maybe we need to get you a coach. And at the time I was like, nah, I don't need a coach. But then on again, now that I am a coach, I'd be like, yeah, if they're going to pay for you to get a coach, get a coach. Fine. That will help you having somebody to work with. But I said no. And it came across very negatively. And I felt like I was now an inferior leader, and that added to my burden even more mentally. It was that negative self-talk of, oh great, he really thinks I'm not good, I'm not strong, he's going to get rid of me, he's going to fire me. And man, the enemy played on that one hard. But I also learned that when you say it right, and when you learn to approach a senior leader and say, okay, look, if I'm going to take this next task on, you know, you got to understand I'm going to have to eliminate something off the top of my priority list. He received that really well. And we were able to together and go, you know what? And honestly, Tom, this probably isn't the best thing for you because it's not in your zone of genius, so to speak. So I just thought you might enjoy doing it, but now I see all the scope you're handling. Let's say no to this. And so when you do it right, it's great. If you do it wrong, unfortunately, yeah, it can be dangerous. I've heard some leaders get nailed for that.
So you cut out during a little bit of that, some of the, you know, the devil must have not wanted you to.
Yeah, I guess so.
So I'll ask a couple more things that we can hear some of that again. So what are some ways that maybe you could say no to your senior pastor that it is received well? And I think you, what I did hear that you did bring up that is a great point is maybe bringing it up to the senior leader as a priority. Hey, where would you like me to spend my time? I can't do both in this allotted amount of time. Which one would you like me to do? Where would you like me to spend your time? I can tell you as a leader, that is really helpful to me. Yes. And it allows me to lead, but it also allows you to, it allows us to manage your time and priorities together. Well, okay. I see that. Why don't you go here first and then here, and then we can work on how both of those can get accomplished. You want to speak to that some?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Sorry that I had that little technical glitch there, but yeah, that's the way you would do it. That's the way I would coach somebody to do it. When I go to my leader with that attitude that I'm here to serve you, I'm here to help, and I don't want to say no, but at certain seasons I'm going to have to. In a healthy church culture, that becomes something that is welcomed. And so sometimes you may have to navigate that and say, hey, how can we make this more of a positive? But when we go to our senior leader and say, here's why I'm saying no, and here's what's happening, here's my scope of what I'm working on. If I say yes to this, then somewhere else, somebody's going to get a no. Because I can't do everything. Because if I say yes to everything, I guarantee I'm going to burn out. It's just going to happen. You're going to self-implode. You were not designed to do everything. You just have to realize it's okay to say no. And when you say it, and you say it with a humility and an honesty, the problem is sometimes we just make ourselves sound busier than we are. Mm-hmm. And then that creates a mistrust. And it creates conflict, and that void of trust can be dangerous too. So if you want to say no, say it right, and it pays off, and it takes you back from the edge of burnout for sure.
I think one thing that I've experienced, and maybe others have as well, maybe you have, is from a staff, and I'm cautious to say this because I want us to. I don't want it to seem like we're bashing the church or we're trying to find ways to improve, trying to find ways to be efficient, trying to find ways to work together. But I've had experiences where, you know, the front of a staff meeting, a pastor will stand up and say, you know, you're welcome to say no, we prioritize your family, da, 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 da. But when the rubber hits the road, you know, hey, it's Thursday, 4:00. I know we have Fridays off, but I need you to do a massive video for Sunday that mm-hmm. I didn't really plan for, but I need you to do it. Well, that pastor, it's going to take me a couple of days to do. Well, you know, we need it for Sunday. Okay, wait a second. You said in the staff meeting that I could say no. Now you're not letting me say no.
Right.
So how do you, have you dealt with that rub before?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's one of those tough situations where, I mean, it's part of what Restoring Leaders is trying to do. I want to go into churches and help them change some of this kind of culture where everybody learns to understand that everybody has to have margin. Because if we start erasing the margin for each other, it affects the whole team. And so, yeah, we had to navigate. We had to have some hard conversations sitting down and saying, hey, look, if I say yes to this, I have to say no to somebody else. And do you want me to say no to my wife? Because she wants me home on Friday to take care of some things. And if I'm stuck in the office editing a video last minute, that was just an inspiration. Now, if it happens once, fine, I can do that. If it's chronic, there's a problem.
Yeah.
And that's where you got to diagnose and evaluate. How often does it happen? If it's happening often, then the hard conversation has to happen and say, look, we can't do this. We've got to do some planning ahead and dreaming ahead and those kind of things.
Yeah.
Because again, we don't do that. It lights the fuse that leads to the explosion of burnout. And somebody's going to implode. Somebody's going to pay for it one way or the other. And so when I say burnout's preventable, I believe it. I do think if we can change the pace and the calendar and the programs of what we do internally at a church, we would see less church turnover, which would save thousands of dollars. Sorry, I don't mean to put the church search firms out of business, but churches are spending way too much money trying to replace staff that if they would just take care of them and care for them and monitor their pace and make sure it's sustainable, we could prevent this burnout. We could prevent people from getting discouraged and walking away. We could get people living and breathing where they're living restored and leading renewed daily, and they're giving out their best ministry because of that.
Yeah.
And so I do think burnout can be preventable, and this will sound really weird, but sometimes burnout can also be good because it can expose some of those culture shifts that need to happen in a ministry. Maybe it's where a church has never thought about giving pastors sabbaticals. And after a series of years of service, maybe they could set up a system that has safeguards. There's a good way to do a sabbatical and there's a bad way to do a sabbatical. Nobody should use a sabbatical to go out and look for another job. That's really cheap and nasty. But then again, nobody should use a sabbatical as, well, this person's totally weak and burned out and we're just going to get rid of them when they come back anyway. Because I've had that happen. I've seen that happen. But burnout can be good because it can expose things and say, hey, what do we need to do to better serve our staff, to take care of our shepherds, to take care of our sheep? We're also role modeling for the people what's healthy. So, I do believe that God brings the beauty from the ashes. And so there's times where burnout shows me I've been living in my own strength, my own talent. I've been living on my own abilities and I've been coasting. Because sometimes when you're in a place for a while, you get into cruise control and you just think, hey, I can surf and put it on cruise. And well, it's always worked. Let's not break it. Let's not bend it. And one of the things the pandemic did, it shook us all up. It sifted everything. Yep. And so now some of this stuff is being exposed. And that's why I think burnout is coming up. I think discouragement's at a high. I think mental self-care is at a high right now because people are struggling all over the place.
So let's get into some solutions. And yeah. I think you have some really good ideas here. So let's kind of walk through them one by one. So sure. Your first one here is when you're driving, turn off the music, pull into a parking spot and just sit for 5 minutes quietly. So what is this solitude activity going to teach us?
Yeah. Well, solitude and here's the other thing. For some of us, you need to even turn. You've got to turn off that music because we're so used to having the noise and the chaos around us that one of the things that I see in scripture all the time is where God says to be silent and to be still, you know, be still and know that I am God. We're all running at such a high pace all the time that even in our devotions, we're thinking about how I could use this to teach somebody else. We're not feeding our own soul. And so solitude is all about you and the Father. And so for me, what I do is I like to sit and just take a few minutes and sit quietly and say, okay, Father, I'm here. Before I go on with any part of the rest of my day, I just want to sit and be quiet before you. Sometimes I'll say some things out loud. I'll think of five, you know, kind of take five and take five things that I'm thankful for and just praise God for it. But then there's other times where it's just, I'm just going to sit and be quiet.
So when driving and turning off the music, does this apply to our podcast? You know, if they're listening to our podcast, they finish the episode and then pull off.
Then they do it. Yes. Yeah. Wait to the end of the episode, time it right.
Okay.
And then just yes, go into solitude mode. Reflect on the words of Carl, the wise one.
No, not mine. I was more thinking of yours, buddy.
Oh.
Okay. Your second one here is wake up early. Oh, I got to wake up early.
Yeah. Hey, man, come on. I know there's a lot of people out there that want to always hit the gym and they all that, you know. So yeah, wake up a couple minutes early. And again, this is part of the solitude stuff. These are some little tips that I think will help people practice solitude, because I think people make excuses. I don't have time to do it. Well, give yourself 10 minutes by just getting up 10 minutes early. You don't have to do anything except sit quiet, be present, breathe deep. Don't start thinking about your day, fight that temptation, but just be still. You know, sometimes reading a psalm is good, or a proverb, but I like just sitting up and getting into the quiet of the moment. But 10 minutes that, you know, you can give yourself a gift, just 10 minutes, get up early and just do it. It's amazing. The practice of just doing that 5-minute, 10-minute solitude sit is working for you.
Your next one is something that I like to do. I'll get up and not in the cold winter like it is right now, but take a walk around my neighborhood. Yeah. There's a time I might listen to a podcast or listen to some music, but you know, more and more I find myself not listening to anything and just taking that time to walk and pray and think and just be in the quiet. You want to speak to that some?
Well, yeah, because again, you know, if we're going to keep burnout at bay, we have to realize our source of strength. And so one, the physical stuff is great. You know, a good walk, even on a cool, yeah, cause we got snow this morning where I'm at. So, now it melted off, but it's still cold. But I mean, I'll go out and just stand on my back porch or I'll walk down the street. You know, for 15, 20 minutes and no music, no headphones. In fact, I leave my phone in the house and I just walk and I listen to the symphony of nature. And there's something restorative about doing that. I like to walk around water a lot of times. So I'll find a place that has a little lake and just go walk around it. Because there's something that just restores the soul. I think that's what David was talking about, you know, in Psalm 23, you know, he leads me by the still waters. Well, David was walking by the water, just meditating and worshiping. And there's something about that just deflates and puts out that fuse of burnout that if you could just make a practice of periodically just going for a walk and pick a place where you can be alone and quiet before the Lord, it's powerful, man. It's transformational all the time.
So a lot of these exercises are, you know, sit in the quiet, you know, take some time to reflect kind of exercises. Are there anything that you do suggest once I get to work? And I think we touched on some, you know, be okay saying no, that sort of thing. But is there anything when I get to work that would, you know, help interact with people or some things like that that would prevent burnout?
Well, I think the key is no matter your leadership style, or your getting things done style. You got to find your, and I think a lot of leaders try to operate in other people's rhythms. And so they get in and they try to do stuff in a certain way. And I think when you come into the office, if you know, all right, I've got a rhythm and a plan. So I'm going to start my plan. I'm going to focus on some worship, some, you know, reading some scripture, a little bit of prayer, you know, doing something like that. Or sometimes it's connecting with another leader and just talking with them for a few minutes. You know, I have a couple of people that I reach out to periodically just for a 10-minute conversation, just to check in, how you doing? How's your soul? How's your life? You doing okay? Anything I can pray for you? And we pray together. And there's something about that exercise of just doing those kind of things to start your day off, get you grounded, get you centered, powerful. So I think, you know, when you come into the day, you know, yes, you know, you got your plan, but find your rhythm. But before you do, start it with something that gets you focused in a peaceful place and get your mind at rest. And like I say, meditating on a scripture, talking to a friend, spending some time again in quiet before the storm starts up will be powerful things for you to get going. But a lot of leaders just need to stop and figure out what's going on and then what their day looks like and then build from there.
Good. Let's hit some high level things as we close. So why is it important, do you think, for ministry folks to not burn out? I mean, we have some obvious answers here, but your opinion.
Well, honestly, because when we experience true burnout, the ripples, the consequences go way beyond just us personally. You will not be able to keep the effects of burnout limited to just yourself. And I think the enemy, you know, again, because we often think we operate in our own strength and we operate, nobody knows. And honestly, I was great at hiding it. Nobody in my church, not even my closest staff members, knew how bad I was suffering physically, emotionally, when I was at my worst, except for my wife. She saw it. Mm-hmm. But it hurt her deeply. It hurt my children. I couldn't control it. And ultimately, I tell people, look, burnout will hit you like a tsunami. Everything gets sucked out and then whoosh over the top. And so if we don't get this under control, if we don't start changing our cultures in our staffs, if we don't personally take responsibility for where we are, and figure out how to get this under control in our life and put some preventative measures and boundaries, guardrails, as I call them, in our life, it's not only going to affect us, it's going to affect maybe even future generations. It's going to impact ministries and communities. Because every time a leader burns out, it affects so much more than just them. And we have to realize that. And that fear alone keeps me in check. I don't ever want to go back to where I was ever, ever. And now I want to keep other leaders from doing the same thing because I don't want to see more leaders walking away from ministry and just tapping out.
Mm-hmm. What about leaders? If I'm in a higher level position, how do I keep my workers? How do I take care of them so that they don't burn out?
Yeah. By a stab, you know, the leader sets the pace. The leader has to be intentional about creating sustainable pace. And that means I'll just one practical thing would be the calendar. Making sure that when you start, because this is the time of year we start planning for the next year, right? The first thing that should go on the calendar for a church staff is their vacation time. And I know some people go, yeah, right. Mm-mm. If you don't do this, okay. I'm gonna tell you, you're risking things. To me, when I'm coaching a church or when I'm coaching a leader, I say, put your family stuff on first, then calendar around it. Now, sure, at times we may have to adjust and tweak, but make that a priority. Because if you rob that, you're robbing something that's very valuable to soul care. so you need that. And, you know, I know I said vacation days don't you know, can't prevent it, but they will help if you guard that. Schedule some sabbatical time or some soul care time. Get those on the calendar first. Give your staff days of retreat. Set up soul care days once a month where half a day you close the office and go somewhere and have some silent solitude time or study it, do a book reading together, and then allow some solitude time where if somebody wants to take a nap, take a nap. Our staff did this once and we went to a lake and a guy let us borrow his pontoon boat and his kayaks. And we went out and spent a half day there. Then we had lunch together and then we dove back to the office and dug in for the rest of the day. Those were so therapeutic. It created this culture for us. And that started with our senior leader doing that. Mm-hmm. So encourage your staff to take retreats. Encourage them to have a counselor or somebody like me that they can go and release and vent to. Yeah. That's part of what I do with restoring leaders is I tell people, look, call me up. And I've got people that will do this. They'll call me and say, Tom, I just need to vent. I'll go, okay, do you want any feedback? You want anything help? Nope, just need to vent. All right, hit the pressure valve and go. And all I do is I sit and I listen and I grunt every once in a while to let them know I'm listening, but I don't talk. I just listen. Hmm. And then I'll say, anything else? Can I pray for you? They'll usually say, yes. I pray for them. They hang up. Boom. Senior leaders have to create that space to say, look, that's not a sign of weakness. That's a sign of strength.
Mm-hmm. Great, man. Well, tell us how we can get in touch with you. How can we learn more about you and your resources?
Hey, well, the best way, you can go to restoringleaders.org. That's the main website to get to Restoring Leaders. If they want to go to ptbump.com, that's my general landing page. And so the Restoring Leaders link is there. KMC Coach is there. How to speak, get me to speak or do some training is there as well. We'll also put the book information up there. We're going to be doing orders for the book here soon. Yeah. It'll be available on Amazon. The Kindle version will be up ready to go here shortly. But that's the best way. You can email me at tom@restoringleaders.org. And, I'm always available for consults and calls and would be happy to help anybody that needs help, in this area.
Yeah. Tom, I believe in what you're doing, man. And I really appreciate your time today. Thank you, buddy.
Hey, thanks a lot, man.
When presenting worship slides, announcements, videos, and other content on your screens and your worship experiences, never let your audience see what's going on behind the scenes. You never want to see a cursor, a desktop background, you clicking over to another program, you restarting the presentation computer, nothing like that. The only exception to this is a power outage. If your power goes out, you restart and get things back up and running as soon as you can, but that's the only exception. As an audience member, I should never see anything on screen other than the final media content from your presentation software.
The show notes for this episode are available now at makingsundayhappen.com.
Well, hey guys, thanks so much for hanging out this week. My thanks to AJ Schubert, Daniel Stavanis, and our great team at 1230 Media for producing and distributing this podcast. Next week, I welcome my friend Barbara Conero. Barbara has an incredible story of owning her own marketing agency and giving it all up for God, and how God has used her in some really powerful ways to help churches find their voice. We hear Barbara's story, as well as we'll give some practical hacks for finding the voice of your church. She's got some great strategies for that, so you're going to love hearing from Barbara next week. We would love to connect with you. You can learn more about what we're doing at 1230 Media at 1230.media. That's 1230.media. We'll go out there and create some incredible worship experiences this weekend. We'll catch you next week.
Making Sunday Happen is a production of the Ministry of 1230 Media. For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your church, visit MakingSundayHappen.com.